All right, everyone, welcome to episode 33, I think we're at here, Storm the Court podcast. A little Christmas edition as we are recording here on Thursday night, right before the Giants secure a playoff spot and beat the Eagles' ass.
Fuck that.
See you guys in the Super Bowl for the third time. And in honor of being bloggers, we were recording this at our parents' houses. So we're really should just go right into the basement.
That's what we should have done. I'm on the second floor, so I'm as furthest away from the basement you can be. Like that was, really dropped the ball on that. Jay Mariotti, we could have set him up for a great Twitter rant. And sorry, Jay. Looking forward to that podcast in 2017. Can't wait.
Gonna shut everybody down.
Loser bloggers.
It's Reeves and Terrence coming at you. It's been a crazy week in college basketball, and really what's usually a dead week. You know, obviously the Grayson Allen stuff we'll get into. We'll put our little twist on it. Syracuse disaster, the Kentucky Louisville game, which is a little abnormal this year, being played before Christmas, which personally I hated as a Kentucky guy. I love that game being late, you know, New Year's Eve, last Saturday in December. So we'll get into it right away. Takeaways from the Kentucky-Louisville game. I'll let you start. What did you gather from that? You know, does that elevate Louisville at all for you? Does it devalue Kentucky at all? What's your kind of two cents on it?
First off, way to be the ultimate Kentucky guy and start off with Kentucky-Louisville opposed to Grayson Allen. So kudos there, but you're gonna enjoy that then if that's the case. My takeaways are Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox have been the two best players for Kentucky, and this is kind of a tall task for their first road game. You're on the road at Louisville, your rival, against a top 10 team of top 5 defense, and you know I think we saw some.
Vegas.
Right, I think we saw some you know freshmen. Like, they looked the part of freshmen. That you know, as far as their first true road game, I think it's going to benefit them in the long haul. I think there's some optimism coming out of that game with the way Bam performed. But as far as Louisville, I think they sort of proved what we all assumed, which was they were not going to be that bad shooting the ball. They started to knock down shots, and yeah, it was a good home win for Louisville. You know, heading into ACC play where they look really good right now.
Yeah, I think you know Louisville somewhere shooting between what we saw last night and what we've seen leading up to that game. Like they were out of their minds for that stretch in the first half after they got down 17-12. They kind of caught fire, especially Quentin Snyder. I mean, again, I don't think they're as bad as they have been. What was it? The top three perimeter players were all shooting under 32% from three heading into the game. They're somewhere between, I think, 35 and 40%. So you kind of saw that last night. Yeah, you know, as a Kentucky guy, you're not leaving that game feeling weird. I mean, you're not feeling bad. I mean, you obviously, if you're cheering for Kentucky, you want to win that game. But, you know, a 3-point loss, like you said, on the road to your rival. Malik Monk only played, 10 minutes the first half, 9 minutes the first half. And you had a chance to tie up the game, and it was, you know, the mistakes are correctable. They shot 50% from the line the last 2.5 minutes of the game, and contrary to what a lot of people think, this Kentucky team isn't a bad free throw shooting team. De'Aaron Fox is a good free throw shooter. It's unusual because this Kentucky team's not a terrible free throw shooting team. It's not like last year where you're holding on your breath if it wasn't Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray at the line.
Right, yeah.
Like, Briscoe shooting 74% this year and went 6-for-6 yesterday. But so there's little things like that. You know, I don't think Louisville is at that tier yet of, you know, we kind of talked about the different tiers in college basketball. I don't think they're at that level yet of the Dukes, the Carolinas, the Kentuckys, even though they just beat Kentucky, you know, it's a home game. But they're right in that lead second tier. You know, I don't know if I would put money on them to win the title just because their offense is still great. You know, they're going to go in games, but they don't score for four minutes.
Well, I think this is a team that looks the part of a contender in the ACC when you consider the...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for
sure. But they're only... And if you're contending the ACC, that's, you know, the best conference as far as, you know, depth and maybe talent as when you look at the top with UNC and Duke. But their worst loss is a 3-point neutral floor loss to Baylor, and they were in control of that game for the 22. And I think it was their offensive woes that sort of did them in. And I think that offense is going to get better with time, as we saw, you know, yesterday with the offensive performance they put up against a good defensive team in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's actually more my concern if you're Kentucky, is the defense. I mean, the offense is going to be there, especially in transition. The half-court offense, they struggle in that this year, but I'm still not worried if you're a Kentucky fan, because Bam's going to get better as the year goes on. Monk's not going to be, you know, he's not going to shoot 1-for-9 often from three. But it's the defense, you know, they kind of got caught by Louisville going under screens, and they never seemed to adapt to that, which was kind of shocking, because you assume with, you know, a lineup of Fox, Monk, and Briscoe, just switch everything, and that would get eliminated. But I don't know, like you said, there was a lot of freshman mistakes, but obviously not taking any away from Louisville, that's a hell of a win, and they head into the ACC play with a pretty nice resume.
Yeah, but I honestly can't believe we didn't start off with the Grayson Allen. It's been the biggest story all day. It's dominated.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it kind of has everything sort of social media and the sort of the world, the sports media world we live in. Like when we grew up, like SportsCenter is a shell of what it is now. It's either entertainment, news, sports. And so this had every making of it. White Duke villain, tripping somebody. It was a slow news day. Let's put it that way. But
yeah, it's the Wednesday before Christmas.
Right, it's the Wednesday before Christmas, and this sort of story that just riled people up. It made Duke players put up their, you know, their shields and defend the team, and it just gave everyone enough ammunition and pitchforks to go out at the most hated team in all of sports. And if you've been traveling, if you've been, you know, stuck without Wi-Fi or next to a computer or a TV, if you missed it, Grayson Allen for the third time in 25 games has intentionally tripped a player. He tripped a player on Elon today, last night, Steven Santa Van or whatever it was. And, you know, he tripped Ray Spalding last year against Louisville. He tripped Xavier Ruthane-Maines a couple games later. This is probably the worst one. This was a full on, full extension leg. And unlike, Spalding and Ruthane-Maines,
in the wide open, right in front of two officials.
Right. And this was worse than the other ones, because this kid was going with a head of steam. Xavier Ruthane-Maines was barely getting out of the starter's block at half court when he got tripped. And Spalding, same thing. He had just begun dribbling up court when he got tripped up. This was maybe the worst one. This kid could have fallen back and maybe hit his head or something like that. But
yeah, or, you know, twist his ankle pretty bad or something like that. But it was, I mean, it was bad. There's no other way around it. It was obvious.
And this sent Twitter ablaze with memes and the Joffrey Baratheon comparisons.
The perfect storm.
And then he had the temper tantrum on the bench, and then Coach K.
I think that honestly is what made it even worse.
Yeah,
if it was just the trip, people would have been all right. Grayson's doing Grayson things, almost like Draymond. But the temper tantrum, and then, you know, we'll get into it in the K's comments after the game. That I think is what really made everybody run.
No. Even before that, when Coach K put him back in, that's what really, I think, fueled it.
At least the Kentucky Louisville game had tipped off by then.
Right.
So at least people, like, that was the other thing. This happened right before, you know, 20 minutes before tip at Kentucky Louisville, where the college basketball world would have been all eyes on Kentucky Louisville. Everyone was watching Duke leading up to this game.
It did not help that Jay Williams, one of the most ultimate Dukies of all time, went to town on him.
God, at halftime.
He asked for a 5-game suspension. You know that it was literally everyone. It was everyone, and I think the thing about the temper tantrum on the bench was people were sort of saying, because he did, when he first initially tripped him, he looks at the official and was like, "He grabbed my arm," and then he goes into the bench and throws a temper tantrum, maybe playing the part of the the victim here. When in maybe reality, when you look at the post game press conference with his, you know, sort of crying while he what not even looking at reporters, that could have been just frustrated at himself for putting himself in that position again, knowing what he faced the first time. Yeah, knowing what he did the first time.
That was the thing. It was the temper tantrum was, oh shit, dad caught me. You know, it reminded me of like a high school kid who throws a party, gets busted by his parents. The next time, you know, next time they go to town, do not throw a party. He throws a party again, thinking he's going to get away with it, gets busted, and then you just, all hell breaks loose. That's what it reminded me of. Like he knew he got caught, but he was going to try to way to spin it, and then it just hit him. I'm screwed. There's no one I can do this.
Right. And then the next thing was the Coach K comments really sort of added another element to it. And most people were quick to point out the Dylan Brooks incident when Dylan Brooks hit the 30-foot shot with the game in hand, and Coach K lectures him in the layup line afterwards. I think that just added more towards the hatred towards Duke and how they haven't punished and like you said, the holier than thou, and how they haven't reprimanded Allen correctly. And in defense of Coach K, I'll play devil's advocate here. He might not have seen the full replay until after the press conference.
Right, but someone on that bench knew what happened. I mean, someone in the assistant coach knows what happened. Someone's watching that play. Like I said, that play happened in the middle of the floor. Like, not in the middle of the floor, but there was no one around. Like, the kid turned on the right baseline. Two officials watching. Somebody on that bench knew. I don't know. I think that's Krzyzewski just kind of being, well, I know I can get away with whatever I want.
Right.
Who's going to yell at me?
No, I hear you on that. But if I was his defense attorney, that'd probably be the card I'd be playing in regards to how his sort of press conference came off very snarky. And he's a snarky guy. Like, this isn't the first time he's been snarky in a press conference before. So let's not act like this is anything new.
Hypocritical. Like, to me, he's just hypocritical. Like, he preaches, we hold everything accountable, we do things the right way, and it's like, no, you really just toe the line with everything.
Right. So the long and short of it is Grayson Allen's been suspended indefinitely. He said on the Dan Patrick Show this morning that he's going to dress, not play for Virginia Tech, so this isn't going to be a Johnny Manziel situation where he sits the first quarter or half or whatever and first series and gets in the game.
He'll be back for the Louisville.
Yeah, this is a suspension that had to happen. Like, it had to happen. Oh, yeah. And I know people are going to throw out their false equivalencies. Like, oh, this player didn't get suspended for this. Well, like, no, he needed to get suspended for this because if he does this again, and let's just say it's February and he trips up ranked team A's best player and he gets a concussion, or he breaks his arm, or he twists his ankle, and he's out for the year. This is no longer a Duke and Coach K problem. This is now an ACC problem, because the ACC hasn't stepped in and reprimanded him, and now a team has been affected by this. Oh, they were stepping in if this didn't happen. They were stepping in, because you can't...
Yeah, if it got to, like, Saturday without Krzyzewski coming out, or Duke coming out, and you know, whatever suspension, the ACC was coming in with probably three games.
Right. And look, I know I've joked about it on the podcast recently. Like, I love Grayson Allen tripping people. It just adds to the villain of Duke. And
it's perfect. I'm all for this.
But the thing is, there's good and bad with it. And let me explain. This morning, college basketball, pre-Christmas, with the bowl season, the NFL players playoffs around the corner, Christmas basketball around the corner, college basketball was the number one story. Maybe for a bad reason, but it was still the number one story. And Duke's great, and now we have another person to hate. And I think that's what makes college basketball so much more fun for the casual March Madness fan, is they now know a player on Duke, and they can just hate him. People love to hate things. And so it's good in that regards. But, you know, while he's, you know, sort of linked himself in the lineage, and I'll use this as he's now on the Mount Rushmore. We love Mount Rushmores of hated Duke white players alongside Leitner, Redick, and Bobby Hurley, or whoever, John Shire, maybe, I don't know. So he's now etched. He's now etched into stone there. I it by all accounts, it does not seem like he wants to be the villain. He wants to be, and this is a little foreshadowing, he wants to be, you know, I am the real American Hulk Hogan, and the rest of college basketball wants him to be Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He's never going to be the latter. He wants to be the former. So I think that's, like, Leitner,
the rest of college basketball.
Right. Leitner and Redick relished.
All of America wants him to be that guy.
Right. They, like, Leitner and Redick relished the heat. Yeah. You hear? They loved being booed at Maryland. They loved the I Hate Leitner shirts. Like, they loved it. Allen does not seem to like that.
No. And that's good. Like, if you're opposing fans, you, like, that's how you get inside Grayson Allen's head. Like, he's not Redick. He's not Leitner, where when you did something to piss them off, they played better.
Right.
You do something to piss Allen off, he's a loose cannon.
He didn't have a great game against Florida State when he tripped up Rathan Mays. So, yeah.
He is like Leitner and Redick in the sense that he's white, goes to Duke, and everyone hates him. But he's not them in the sense that he doesn't play better pissed off. He really doesn't. But like you said, it's great for college basketball that there's someone to hate, and it's not a coach.
Right. And I mentioned this before about how they needed to suspend him. They needed to suspend him for Grayson Allen's, you know, for him personally. Like, this is clearly something that when he declares for the draft, teams are going to talk to him about keeping his composure. He's not going to be the best player on the floor next year in the NBA. So, you know, that's a huge thing for them, and that could affect draft stock for sure. He's got to address that. But from a safety perspective, you're telling me there's not one motherfucker left on that schedule that says, if this guy, who, as we all know, drives to the basket with reckless abandon, comes to the lane, I'm going to throw his ass in the coach's pit. And the way he drives, the way he throws his body around, and given whatever person wants to knock him down, that could result in very costly results.
What coach do you think is most likely to employ Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason situation?
John Chaney. Nailed it. John Chaney.
Okay. Which coach currently in the ACC do you think is most likely to have this Charles Oakley situation?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of...
And I have one in mind.
Go for it then.
I think it's Buzz.
Oh, I was going to lean towards that. I could see that.
It's got to be Buzz. It's either him or it might be Danny Manning. Played in the 80s, played in the 90s in the NBA. You know, kind of that Larry Brown, you know, coming from Larry Brown.
I mean, I wasn't going with it being a sort of a goon type situation. I was thinking more of a rogue player. Like, just someone who doesn't like Grayson Allen and just wants to send him some message.
I think ACC coaches will sit there and say, if he trips you, or, you know, knock him down, get him pissed off, because we will benefit at the end. Like, if he comes driving in, knock him to the ground, knock his ass down. I'm not saying throw a punch or anything, you know, don't do anything cheap, but foul him hard.
Yeah.
If I was a coach, I would absolutely, first time Grayson drove through the lane and my big guy's there, he better knock him on his ass. Because, again, what's one foul to your four or five guy to eventually pay off? Or it might pay off. Well, yeah, who knows what Grayson Allen comes back on? Like, there's no reason to believe he doesn't do something like this again.
Yeah, I just think the only problem with that is I say it's a rogue player, because if a coach ever gets linked to, you know, sort of headhunting, then this is going to be going to be a long news cycle for them.
Yeah, I'm just thinking more the hard foul, the 90s NBA type of, you know, protect the rim, protect the lane, chuck them.
Yeah, but that ball is dead. That, you know, style of ball is dead. I'm talking about like one player, one incident, and just knocking him out.
Somebody will.
And he's lucky. He's lucky that there hasn't been repercussions. There's lucky someone didn't come up, just pop up and smack him.
Yeah, because it's like, if you're Elon, again, what do you care? You're not a top. You're not a top 25 team. You're only getting to the tournament if you win your league.
Yeah,
I understand. Like, okay, you know, we're still a basketball team, but if you're Boston College, well, Georgia Tech has Josh Pastner, so they're not even going to be able to swear at Grayson Allen. But, you know, if you're like Boston College, where what do we have to lose type scenario, and you're a fed up player because you're playing at Boston College and losing a lot. That's where I think
last year the highlight for them was going out to eat. You can only knocking out Grayson Allen would definitely be a step up. Definitely would be a step up. Not Chipotle. No, they learned that lesson.
They sure did.
Yeah, but you had that interesting tweet about going off of, as I foreshadowed with the Hulk Hogan comparison, you had an interesting tweet about college basketball and heels and faces, since we're on the topic of the ultimate heel in college basketball right now.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this last night when, I mean, hell, in the summer when Grayson Allen decided to come back, my headline was, college basketball gets its heel back. And to me, you know, it's always programs and coaches in college basketball just because the one and done's and you know, players that are maxed there for 5 years unless you're, you know, Robbie Hummel or someone like that where you're in college for 20. But who are the heels in college basketball? And the program, and who are the faces? You know, because we're all, yeah, there's a lot of wrestling guys. We both like wrestling. Everyone likes wrestling. I don't care who you are. You watched wrestling at some point.
Right.
Who are heels? Who are the faces? And what I came up with were the heels, program-wise, are Duke, Kentucky, Carolina, Georgetown, Syracuse, you could talk me into. And the faces were Villanova, Butler, who else did I have? Villanova, Butler, and I feel like there was one more. But those are the ones that immediately come to mind.
Yeah, you want to start with the face? Yeah, go ahead.
What'd you say? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, who'd you want to start with as far as heels or faces, so, like in lining them up?
Yeah, so heels. So then we were just talking off air about, and someone asked me this too today. Okay, who is the Stone Cold of college basketball then? So I think we'll start there because we both had different answers. And when I got asked on Twitter this, it was more of a coach. And I think Calipari kind of fits the Stone Cold if you're talking just coaches. But if we open up to all of college basketball, who is your Stone Cold?
My Stone Cold, Steve Austin, because Steve Austin was always anti-authority, anti-establishment. My Stone Cold, Steve Austin, is Nigel Hayes. You know, he doesn't have sort of – he's more of the nicer Stone Cold. Like, you know, he's always smiling. But the way he's taken on the NCAA, the way Stone Cold took on Vince McMahon – in, you know, in the corporation, I think that's kind of who it is.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. If you're talking players, it has to be Nigel Hayes. For me, if you're looking at college basketball as a whole, it's Jay Billis for the same reasons. Like he's not as nice as Nigel Hayes, but he's willing to attack the NCAA. I mean, he lives to attack the NCAA. He's bald. So that fits. We get the white to white comparison, as everybody loves to do. You can't compare one race to another when you're talking about people. So it's really interesting that when you look at like the wrestling world, who's Grayson Allen?
I thought we were doing teams. I think the teams would be easier to do than the players.
Teams would be, okay.
Let's do teams.
I literally just thought of that. Because he's the heel.
Then go ahead. Then who is it?
I think he's John Cena. Because think about the split on Cena and Duke. You either love them or you hate them.
That's a good point. That's fair.
In between.
That's fair.
And as my mention saw today, a lot of people came to defending. You know, Duke is John Cena. I'll say Duke is John Cena.
No, it's a combination of love, hate, and success. Yeah. You either love them, you hate them, but you know they're gonna win.
They win a ton. We'll go Duke is as John Cena.
All right.
Or Kentucky, I think they're Ric Flair.
Ooh, that ain't a bad one. I was also going to say Kentucky was John Cena for the same reason why Duke is John Cena. But,
right.
Like, the Ric Flair would be the one. It's the flashiest. It's the one everyone's envious of.
Accused of cheating all the time.
Yes, that's perfect. Rick, Ric Flair, that's great. In tradition,
Ric Flair has to be Kentucky. I mean, tell me you can't see John Calipari going up and doing the whole limousine riding, jet flying.
Yeah.
Like that, they are the Nature Boy.
I mean, you look at his entrance every year for Big Blue Madness, and tell me that isn't a Ric Flair type entrance with all the theatrics and everything.
He needs to strut like him.
Dude. Yeah, that's great. That's a great comparison. I think John Cena fits Kentucky too, but Ric Flair is perfect.
John Cena is too, like, Duke is very PG. Like, Krzyzewski's kind of more of a PG type guy.
Right.
Whereas Calipari kind of pushes it just a little bit more. So you have to go back to like the Attitude Era, I think.
Yeah. I like the faces you picked. Villanova,
Butler, and Michigan State were the four faces.
Yeah. Villanova to me, and this would have worked so much better last year. Actually, it might work well now. Villanova is Roman Reigns, where he's good, but everyone feels like we don't want to like him. We don't want to respect him.
Yeah, but do people feel? That's actually, you know what? That's good because of the whole Big East.
Right. That's where I'm coming from.
Hate the Big East. Yeah. You know what? It felt forced. Like
right. Right.
Fox Sports bought the Big East and
how they couldn't get out of the first weekend, things like that. That's a good one right there.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I got one for Gonzaga. They're Daniel Bryan.
Oh wow, that's a good one. I like that.
Is it Gonzaga or Butler is Daniel Bryan? Because I can see it for either one. Butler had a little bit more success when it comes to the back-to-back title games. I think I might go Butler as Daniel Bryan because the longest time Daniel Bryan wasn't allowed to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like Hayward shot.
Right.
Like if that would have went in, if you would have got the three count, I'm going Butler as Daniel
Bryan. Okay, and I think I got a replacement for Gonzaga. I'll go, I'm going to go mid-card on this. I'm going to go Dolph Ziggler. Just someone that always seems to be there, just never good enough.
They always get a little bit of the you can never win, you can't get to the Final Four, you can't win the heavyweight title. That's a good one. I like that one. Michigan State's an interesting one.
I think I already got it.
First, all right, let me hear yours. I have someone that just started coming to mind, and it's back to the 90s.
And you're gonna love this one. Michigan State's John Cena. Who do you need? Who do you need? Who do you need when you need someone to make the Final Four? Who do you need to headline a pay-per-view? Who do you need to carry the championship? I think it's Michigan State. I think it's a team that's always reliable. It's always, it has that sort of tradition.
Michigan State is the Undertaker.
Ooh.
Same type of reasons. Always reliable. You can't bet against Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Ah, fuck, that's so good. Yeah.
Bet against his own March.
Right.
But they both lost. Middle Tennessee State, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, shit, that's incredible. That's incredible.
I'm going Undertaker. So we have.
Yeah.
So to recap the faces.
Impossible not to like Michigan State, unless you're a Big Ten school. Impossible not to like Tom Izzo. Yeah.
But I think everybody likes Izzo. Everyone respects Izzo. Been around forever, just like Undertaker. So we got Michigan State for the faces. We got Michigan State as Undertaker. We got Gonzaga as Dolph Ziggler. We got Butler as Daniel Bryan, and Villanova's Roman Reigns. For the heels, we have Duke as John Cena. We have Nature Boy Ric Flair in Kentucky. North Carolina. That's an interesting one because they're who would you consider them? Because they're in the same shadow as Duke. But they want to always be remembered as the better program than Duke, such as John Cena. Who would you go with there?
North Carolina. Do you have anything in mind? Because I'm trying to think of something here that would work.
I think they're Vince McMahon.
In what way?
they want to control everything. The way, like, Roy Williams wants his hands on everything. Complains about the crowd. Complains about, you know, Vince McMahon complains about the crowd. They're willing to rely on their past, Michael Jordan, Attitude Era, all that good stuff. They don't have one and dones anymore. So that, you know, he needs to rely on a point guard to run the Roy Williams offense, or Roy Williams offense the same way McMahon needs Cena to headline main events.
Well, and if you want to take it a little bit step down the corporate ladder, would Triple H work? Someone that's won a lot in the past is still kind of there, and he's not super well liked, and maybe if you sort of look at since he's sort of taken over, like some of the decisions have worked out, some of the decisions have not worked out.
That's probably a good one.
Maybe Triple H. I think by default, Triple H, just based on the number of championships.
Yeah, I like that one. Okay. I like that one better.
All right,
so we got Triple H in Carolina. Here's one. Georgetown. I think they're a complete heel in the college basketball world.
They used to be.
And it has to be Shane McMahon.
No, I think...
Because the same type of thing. You're inheriting from your father. Although, I guess that's not... Would it be Stephanie McMahon?
Right. I'll go this one. Brock Lesnar. Based on what happened with Goldberg, on the top of the mountain, the most dominant force point has now been knocked down and out for a little bit. Maybe that one works.
And the last heel that we have is Louisville. And I think it has to be Val Venus for obvious.
I don't think I can top that one. I don't want to put that one with Louisville. I don't think I can come up with one that would be better. I could probably come up with better suited. I don't know if I can come up with one that is as funny. But is there another one you could think of other than that? Or did you specifically put...
I really wanted that Val.
Okay. I'll give you that then. That's fair. That's fair. That's more than fair.
So that's a little... That's how you combine wrestling and college basketball and go off the rails at the same time.
It's as simple as that.
So, I mean, that's it. It's the holidays. Obviously, not much going on in the college basketball world after today. I mean, there's some okay games to kind of keep you entertained or bet on at least. So just a little help you with your travels. You know, if you're traveling to see family, you have to sit at your in-laws, soon-to-be in-laws, plug this in. Hey, who knows? Maybe your future father-in-law is a wrestling fan and they can laugh at that. So, but we'll get back to this kind of after the new year or hell, conference play starts up next week. So we'll be getting into conference stuff next week. As always, follow us, Terrence_Payne, PAYME, Marcel Reeves, in the show, Storm the Court PC. Continue to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff on iTunes. That helps us out on the back end. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the games.